All right, we're back. Microsoft Ignite NZ. I'm here with a special guest, Donovan Brown. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
I see you all over the place, man.
It's nuts. Every time you show up, I'm there too. It's not coming to your shadow lady.
Maybe it's like every time you show up, I'm there. I'm not like a stalker or anything. Is that be weird?
Yeah, a little bit.
We're just really good friends, you know?
No, for sure.
And one time you slept on this pillow at the conference center. I took it home. And I was hoping that you could like lay on it again. You know, that's not weird, right? It's a smell. It's
my scent wore off. I understand.
That's not weird, right? I'm not a crazy one. All right, dude, you talk about DevOps all the time.
That's what I do.
I love it. I've heard you say that DevOps is people, process, products.
I do.
It feels a little unicorns and rainbows.
Yep.
What does that actually look like in practice? When you talk about people, when you talk about process, when you talk about products, can you lead us through a scenario, because we've got a limited amount of time, can you lead us through a scenario where you see all three of those things sort of integrated in a concrete way? Hit me with it.
Well, it takes time to get to that point, because of those three, people are the most difficult part of us to change.
Sure.
Everyone likes doing what they've been doing. They're comfortable doing what they've been doing. And to get them to change, especially when they're leading in their industry, is very, very difficult. So what we have to be able to do is show them that by applying a process that we can enable with these products, you're going to be able to be more successful. You're going to be able to increase your velocity. So it takes succeeding multiple times to get the people to finally say, okay, I'm starting to get this. Because at first, you're met with nothing but resistance. And anyone that's out there trying to build a DevOps pipeline right now knows that people are like, why are we doing this? We're number one. We're being successful. So what I tell everyone to do is that no matter how you're doing it today, something hurts. It might be your continuous delivery. It might be your continuous integration. Find that one thing and make that one thing better, because to try to do it all at once, you're just going to fail. But I have seen it to where you either have people that are enthusiastic about it, which is the best way to start when you have people who are on board, and they're going to go and implement continuous integration and continuous deployment so that we can start to apply a process that allows them to have that velocity. So it's I understand it sounds like unicorns, crap, and Skittles, but it's actually really does actually work. And what I tell our customers are, your competitors are already doing this.
Sure.
This DevOps is not something that you debate. It's something that you implement, because the time we're spending here trying to convince you is while your competition is getting that much further ahead of you.
So we're talking about this notion of convincing people about DevOps. Look, I'm convinced.
Right.
I just want to know, like, okay, is there like a jar and you just sort of rub DevOps on the server, and then you sort of just make sure it's on there, and then there's a little DevOps sticker, and then we're done. We just DevOps this machine. Like, I mean, I want to know, like, what can I do? Let's just say I have an application that I built. What does it mean to do DevOps on it?
Okay, perfect. So one of the key pillars is automation. You don't want there to be human intervention in getting the code from your developer into the hands of your end user. So you don't want someone right-clicking inside of Visual Studio and clicking on publish. What you want that individual to be able to do is to write the code and commit it to a repository. So you need to make sure that you have a good solid version control system and a good version control pattern. Once that code reaches version control, it's going to start a continuous integration build. So you need a build system that can actually respond to the fact that I've checked in code and start compiling it and hopefully running unit tests that your developers have been actually writing. At the end of that build, you're now going to have a binary of some sort. If you're doing Java, it's going to be a WAR file. If you're doing .NET, it's going to probably be a DLL. And now the goal is to take that binary and put it on a server that can now actually execute so that our end users can get to it. And that's what we do with release management. So a DevOps pipeline is taking several different tools and products and linking them together such that the developer only focuses on checking in code, and then the code gets built, and the build then gets deployed to your environment.
So is this the process you're talking about, from like typing in code all the way to having it somewhere? That's the process.
Yes, and you want, it's not only having it somewhere, but having it somewhere where it's being monitored. And what I mean by that is the definition says we want to continuously deliver value. It's not about just randomly copying files to a server. If I'm not delivering value, then I think we're still failing. It's not just about automation. So to be able to determine if I delivered value, I have to monitor the application while it's being used, which means I just added a new feature. What percentage of the people visiting the website now are finding and using that new feature? Because if it's zero, we still didn't deliver value. We just randomly copied files to a server. But if they are actually using that, now we know that that was a good idea. We need to go do more of that, because when we deployed that new feature, people immediately started to find it. That's how we know we delivered value. So I want people to stop focusing on its automation, and automation is a key part of it, but to deliver value, you have to monitor it. You have to plan it correctly. You have to test it correctly. There's so much more that goes into DevOps than just writing an automation script.
And I like how you add it, because for some reason I'm stuck on the website is out. But you're saying that there's even more to the DevOps process after it's out. Can
Absolutely.
You describe that a little bit more for people that
Absolutely.
Maybe watch
it? Absolutely. So it all begins with an idea that you're putting in a product backlog. A product backlog, for those who aren't agilists, is just a laundry list of any and everything that you want your product to do at some point. And it should be in priority order. So someone basically guessed at what they believe is the most important thing of that list. And the only way that we can verify that is after we've written it and pushed it into production, right. Monitor, did someone find that or not? Because if they don't, we need to go back in and rethink about our priorities. If they did find it, then we at least know they're on the right track and we need to do more of that thing. So the monitoring is information that we take back to our product backlog, the very beginning, and say we are or are not doing the right thing and need to either do more of that or reprioritize our product backlog.
And that's interesting because traditionally, when I'm checking off like, okay, we made the feature, the backlog item can be checked off, or whatever sprint we're in, usually it was the developers that are doing that checkbox. You're saying that we want to push that checkbox all the way out to the end user, where it's them that are verifying that it's actually
been right. Verified. And the nice thing is they don't verify it by coming into our tool and checking anything. They verify it by the numbers that we get back from our telemetry, letting us know that we did indeed deliver value. You should also be able to get that during your sprint reviews as well. I'm a firm believer that to be good at DevOps, you have to be good at Agile first. And the first time that your end users are seeing it should not be when it's in production. It should have been in a sprint review when your product owners and your stakeholders gave you the feedback that, yes, I think this is good. So there's several places throughout that pipeline that you can get that validation that, yes, this is going to be successful. And then that telemetry is just basically going back and giving you that, yep, we're on the right track. And those who are giving us that feedback are also the people that we need to be listening to. Because sometimes they think they know what's best, you push it out there, and that's not quite what we needed.
So we talked about the people, and we talked about culture change and how it's important. We talked about sort of a process that you should align to, more or less. Let's talk about the products that you throw at each one of those steps.
Perfect.
What are some examples of products that help along that stage? Because some people, like DevOps to them, is a glorified PowerShell script, right? But it's a little bit more than that, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a lot more than that. And it's usually a series of tools that you have to string together. A lot of our customers are out there building it on their own because before we had release management, we didn't have the entire story that you needed. But Visual Studio Team Services is literally everything that you need to build a DevOps pipeline for any language targeting any platform. If you're not using Team Services, I can say 100% that you are using more than one vendor, because there is no other vendor that has a solution like Team Services.
Sure.
So you're going to be getting your source control from one vendor, you're going to be getting your work item tracking from another vendor, your continuous integration yet from another vendor. You might be able to get your CD and your CI from the same person, but chances are you're using someone else for continuous delivery. You're probably using a third party for your monitoring. And when you do that, now someone in your organization is now responsible for maintaining that tool chain. And 9 times out of 10, it's a developer that you would much rather have writing code for your end users. Exactly. And that's just waste now that they're doing working on that tool chain. So what we want to do is give you a solution that has the continuous integration, continuous deployment, package management, and all built into one solution that streamlines the entire process. But one thing I always want to say when I want to mention that Team Services is everything that you need, you only need to use as much as you need. A lot of people are like, oh, when you say that, that means you're going to lock us in and we're stuck with Microsoft forever. That's not true. If you already have an investment in Jenkins, and for whatever reason you really want to stay with Jenkins, you can use our source control and our work item tracking on one side and our continuous deployment and package management on the other and leave Jenkins right there in the middle. And you can pick any of those verticals you want, choose the tool of your choice, and then fill the rest of the gaps with the VSTS.
Is this something that is going to cost a lot of money? Because when you see something as sophisticated as, because obviously VSTS originated from TFS,
yep,
and all this other stuff, Is it something that's going to just like break my bank, right?
That's a good question. VSTS, everyone watching this and listening to us right now can go to visualstudio.com and get started for free. Absolutely free. Just type in, log in, and then create an account, and you can start checking in code and running builds and running deployments for absolutely $0. And now, of course, as you scale out that team, if they're already MSDN subscribers, they're already licensed for the tools. So if you're a .NET shop running MSDN,
you've already paid for it. You own it already.
If you're not, then obviously there's a cost for the sixth plus people. So the first five people are free. The sixth person on, if they do not have an MSDN, are going to start having to pay. And it's a marginal cost for what you're getting for it, right?
And I love it. Now, we're kind of out of time, but I feel like we literally hit on the people, culture change, the process, you know, not just committing code, but all the way through telemetry. Right. And then we talk about some of the products that you can use. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, Donovan.
My pleasure.
We are going to go to a session which should be starting right about now or is already in session. Let's go to that.